Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, pastor at First Christian Conroe. Welcome to my midweek podcast. How is everything going for you? I know it's a time when we're starting schools back, and I know we've got two grandkids in local school district, one in high school and one in the fourth grade, Ryder in high and Tinley in the fourth. And Tinley is only going to school one day a week, and the rest of the time, her fourth grade class is online. That's got to be tough on students and teachers and parents. Keep everyone in our school system in your prayer as we try to figure out how to educate this generation of kids in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic. What else is going on in your world? I hope you're behaving yourself. We had another huge food pantry this week, and I'm getting a lot more calls from people who are desperate for food and other assistance, and I am glad that we can do what we are doing, and we may be called on to do more. What is going on with you? Let me hear from you this week. By the way, that reminds me, are you calling each other and checking in on each other? I want you to do that. Remember, we're studying the book of Acts, and after the last week, we're about to chapter 17, and Paul winds up in Athens. Athens is a major center of learning and philosophy. There are gods on every street corner in the form of idols. And Paul enters this milieu and sees that the streets are full of idols. Listen now from the 17th chapter, the 22nd and following verses. So Paul, standing in the middle of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all men life and breath and everything. And he made from one every nation of men to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him. Yet he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being." He goes on to tell them that we are God's offspring. We are children of God. Can you imagine how that must have sounded to the Athenians with their shrines and idols on every street corner, that we are the children of the one God, creator of the universe? Not only that, he tells them that God's Son has come to bring all people to God. Question, why hasn't everyone accepted Christ? I guess we would have to say that there may be some who have just not been told yet. It's hard to imagine, but I'm sure there are people on the planet who have never heard of Jesus, who have no idea about the Christian faith. But I think for some, the world's call is just too great. They feel like that if they were to accept this Christian lifestyle, they would have to give up too much, and that they have a previous claim by their property or their status or their living circumstance. Does that mean that they are lost and forsaken by God? No, time and time again in the New Testament, we read parables and stories about going to seek the lost sheep. The one lost sheep is who God calls for. For some, the very notion of Creator God simply does not fit into their worldview. Stephen Hawking, that great physicist, you know, he passed away within the last few years, but he reached 70 years old plus with ALS, and he possessed one of the greatest minds of our day. Listen to his words. The whole history of science has been the gradual realization that events do not happen in an arbitrary manner, but they reflect a certain underlying order, which may or may not be divinely inspired. You know, Stephen Hawking was not a Christian by faith, but his own statement, which may or may not be divinely inspired, shows that he is at least asking the questions, the question of faith. What do you think about this? Listen to this statement. Faith, by definition, requires a certain amount of uncertainty. Think about it. Jesus understood this statement when he was talking with Thomas. Remember doubting Thomas. And afterwards, Jesus told him, after Thomas had been able to touch him and feel the marks in his skin, and Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Thomas, you have seen and believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and believed." And that statement is talking about you and me. We did not have the benefit of being eyewitnesses to all of the events of Jesus' life and ministry and death and resurrection. And yet two millennia later, we are able to say the words of faith, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and my Savior." And how did you and I come by that faith? Well, it came by us trusting the testimony of Scripture, the testimony of the church, the testimony of those whom we love witnessing to us about the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. It came to us from different directions, but that faith, for my money, and our job is to be caretakers of that faith and to pass it on to others. Well, then Paul went to Corinth, where he met a Jew named Aquila and his wife Priscilla. He stayed with them and he worked at his trade. I think it's kind of neat that Paul found some people who had the same trade that he had, tent making, and he stayed in their home and worked. He always said that he worked for his keep. He argued in the synagogue every Sabbath, but he did not find an audience that was very receptive. And finally, the Jews did not accept his teaching. So from that point on, he started preaching only to Gentiles. Hear these words from chapter 19. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 of them in all. Now, what do you think about the gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned in Acts and other places, speaking in tongues and prophesying? I will admit that that is not a gift from God that I have been given, but I do not doubt its verity. I have good friends, especially when I was in Eastland, Texas, in the little church there. There was a group from the Church of God out of Indiana, and they were a Spirit-filled bunch. And one evening, I had been there only a little while in Eastland, and they asked this young minister, me, to come and do the invocation at a meeting that they were having. And so I got up, and I did not know the group I was fixing to pray in front of, except they were another church in Eastland. And I started praying, and about 10 or 15 seconds into my prayer, I heard a kind of a mumble in the congregation, and it grew louder and louder and louder, till at the end of my prayer, it was almost overwhelming, the participation of them as they were speaking, as they would say, slain in the Spirit and speaking in tongues. It was an experience that I shall never forget, and I do not doubt the sincerity of their speaking in tongues that evening. And since then, when I've been around folks for whom that is a part of their faith life. And then Paul gets into an altercation with some Jewish exorcists. Well, let's hear the story from the mouth of Luke, who wrote it. And God did extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were carried away from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Many also of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices, and a number of those who practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew and prevailed mightily. Wow, you see what I mean when I tell you that some of these stories from the book of Acts would make great action movies or superhero movies. Well, next week, we will get Paul to Jerusalem. For next week, read up through about chapter 22 or so, and we will continue Paul's journeys. I hope you have a great week this week. Wear your face coverings, wash your hands a lot, stay socially distanced, protect each other, take care of each other. And I want to invite you to come to communion this Sunday. We will have communion in the garden at 9:30. And then from 10 to 11, we will have a drive-through communion. You can pick up the elements and take communion with your church family as you listen to the worship podcast. It won't be long until we are back in worship together in the sanctuary. I can't tell you how much I look forward to that time. Now, be good to each other. Have a good day, a good week, and God bless.